Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, Kim, what's up?
What's going on, boys? How are you doing? Happy Wednesday.
Yes, yes. I bet in a future, a past Birchie life, this was a pretty exciting day for you the night before Thanksgiving. Am I wrong?
Who's not to say in current Birchie's life? Well, don't sell me short now. I can still get after a little bit.
I suspect it's changed a little bit with a little legend in the house, but nonetheless.
I can always strap him to my back and bring him along to Tin Roof. You know how it is.
Actually, it doesn't surprise me that would be under consideration from you.
I go to Tin Roof. I love it.
Virtue loving it downtown.
All right, so.
Hey, Gator, I gotta have you settle a debate. So, because I usually come on for this awesome spot on Fridays.
Yeah.
Sensing that we might want to do it today before the game as we usually do, I texted Karsh this morning, 7:23, and I said, hey, are we sticking to our usual Friday spot this week? He said, yeah, what time? We decided on 11 a.m. So you can imagine my surprise when I was driving into the studio at about 10:30 this morning and heard Doug Karsh say, and the Birchie kid will join us at 11 a.m. today. I thought, I could have sworn we had settled on Friday. Am I in the wrong or was Karsh in the wrong? Who crossed whose wires in that exchange?
Clearly, your wires are crossed. You were the one that was at fault.
Good to know. So it's been settled.
Yeah, it's settled.
You know, there were wires crossed because when you said our usual Friday spot, I thought you meant today is a Lions Friday.
Yeah,
so it was just about the time. But I'm glad we got you on it all. And let's start with injury-wise. Who do you think plays tomorrow and who doesn't?
So we know, for one, that Kirby Joseph won't play. I mean, Campbell said he doesn't see him playing, so we can safely rule him out, unfortunately, for the sixth game in a row. And then they're feeling pretty good about Davenport, and I know I said the same thing last week, and I apologize if you were under the impression that he would play because of that, but Dan obviously said he was hopeful that Davenport plays on our airwaves on Tuesday, and suggested the same thing when he spoke with the media in Allen Park later on that same day. I get the sense that they're going to let Davenport rip tomorrow, and boy, do they need more production from that spot, so that's a big boost. And then there's a bunch of unknowns right now, man. This short turnaround has thrown this team into flux a little bit. You've got Graham Glasgow, who is dealing with a knee injury, and he was an estimated no practice in both of their walkthroughs this week. The same would go for Khalif Raymond with an ankle injury. Same goes for Brock Wright with a neck injury. Obviously, three pretty important players. And if those guys can't go, you're probably looking at Tristan Colon stepping in at center for Graham Glasgow. You're probably looking at, obviously, Tesla as wide receiver three for Raymond. And then either Dominic Lovett or Tom Kennedy on punt returns. No one else other than Raymond has returned a single punt for this team this season. If Brock Wright can't go, some combination of Firkser, Ross Dwelly, and maybe even Jackson Meeks. So a lot to sort out. And then, you know, there's some big news coming potentially today on Josh Pascal, and we're still awaiting word. I know you guys are aware of that situation yourselves, but obviously troubling when he popped up yesterday as an estimated no practice in the walkthrough because he's a guy who has to be activated today along with Miles Frazier or his season is over. His window for activation expires today. So those two guys either have to be activated or shut down for the year.
Okay, two things on that. One, do you expect Frazier to get activated?
Yes, I would be shocked if Frazier is not activated. I don't think he'll play tomorrow, but I do think they activate him.
And why didn't they put Kirby Joseph on the IR?
It's a great question. And I actually caught up with Kirby on Monday. He can be sometimes elusive, Jahmyr Gibbs-like in the locker room, but was able to grab him for a few questions and just kind of talking through his injury with them. To be clear, he is itching to go. He is raring to go. But I think, you know, there's a possibility that they brought him back a little bit prematurely the first time. And that's why they find themselves in this situation now being very conservative with this rehab. And Kirby was like, look, I would return right now if I could, but I also know that we can't rush this. I can't rush this because if I come back again and go down again, it's going to be an even longer absence. You know, it sounds to me just reading between the lines that he's dealing with some kind of knee tendonitis. Dan said yesterday they're trying to just re-strengthen the muscles around the knee to stabilize it and get him back into a spot where he can contribute on game days. So, you know, maybe that's a difficult timeline to gauge, and they were hopeful that he would return sooner than he has. Dan said this month that recovery hasn't gone as quickly or smoothly as they hoped. So all of those things have kind of contributed to it. And then the fact that they do only have 8 IR activations, and they've already used 4 and may have to use a couple more moving forward. But I agree, in hindsight, they clearly should have put him on IR.
This week on this station, both Dan Campbell and Jared Goff were asked independently about what does we got to clean stuff up mean specifically. They both said, independently of each other, third down conversions and third down efficiency. Is that something you see as the same thing, or are we all just reading from the same page here?
Yeah, I'm with them on that for sure. I thought they were actually much better last week in third and manageable, and that's an issue that has tripped them up all season. I believe in last week's game they did convert all or almost all of their 3rd and 7 or less. That feels like a step forward, albeit against a defense that has been gouged all season long. That was a sign of progress. And, you know, they also need to be better. And I hate to be the one to repeat what everyone else is saying, but on 1st and 2nd down, 3rd down is going to decide this team's offensive ceiling and maybe their ceiling as a team, guys. If you look at the 4 teams each year that have made conference championship weekend, it's been 6 years since a team ranked in the bottom half of the league in 3rd down and made conference championship weekend, and 10 years since a team ranked in the bottom 3rd and reached conference championship weekend. That was the Broncos way back in 2015, who happened to win the Super Bowl with the #1 defense in the NFL. So that's what you would need to offset the Lions' 3rd down offense as it's currently functioning.
Bertie, if I have a scale, and at one end of the scale, it says the Detroit Lions are fatally flawed, and at the other end of the scale, it says the Detroit Lions are gearing up for a run at the Super Bowl, which way does the arrow point more for you? Does it point more towards they're fatally flawed, or does it point towards they're gearing up for the Super Bowl, or is it right in the middle, we can't tell yet?
Well, I can't duck the question and give you right in the middle, huh? That would be unfair.
You can do it.
If I'm being completely honest, I would lean more toward fatally flawed because I don't know how they fix this offensive line other than Miles Frazier providing a huge boost at guard over the next month or two. And this team has built itself on its offensive line and its ability to run the ball, to get into play action for 4 to 5 years. And I struggle to believe 13 weeks into the season that unit is going to go from really league average to at least good again, let alone elite, especially when you're dealing with a left tackle in Taylor Decker, who is obviously banged up, with a center in Graham Glasgow, who's been a guard in the past, who has banged up himself, with a backup guard in Coyote Owusu, who, let's just call it what it is, has not played well since stepping in for Mahogany. And in a rookie in Ratledge who has had his ups and downs, you know, you can go across this offensive line, and the only spot where right now they have a player who is a better version of the one they had last year is right tackle and Sewell, and that was a given. So, look, it's possible, and the one thing working in their favor that we should all acknowledge is that the NFL field this year is pretty watered down. Like, there really is no juggernaut unless you might believe in the Rams. So there is a more of a runway and an opportunity because of that. But I just think going into the playoffs, it's hard to believe right now they can fully trust that offensive line if they indeed get there.
They got absolutely gashed against the Giants defensively. There were over 500 yards in offense for the Giants. It felt like every pass play, somebody was just wide open. They averaged over 20 yards a reception against the Lions. Is it just simply missed assignments that can be, hey, reps in practice, getting guys back, there's a little bit of confusion there, we'll figure this out? Or is this a deeper problem they have on the defensive side?
I think that was a one-off last week. You know, credit the Giants for throwing all kinds of gadgets at them that the Lions had not seen on film. And then there were numerous individual errors on almost all of those explosive plays. I mean, go to the very first one where they throw the trick play touchdown to Robinson, and it was the safety, Kirby Joseph's replacement, Thomas Harper, who bit on that play. And then he actually ended up playing pretty well over the course of the game. The 3rd and 17 later in the game, where Anzalone kind of lost his man in coverage, he thought that Al-Qaeda Muhammad had Jameis Winston wrapped up because he did and just didn't finish. I mean, you go through the tape of each of those plays, it seems like if one player had just finished his job or done his assignment, they could eliminate those. And I think that those will solve themselves. And, you know, there were times last week even where Wandale Robinson just beat Amik Robertson in coverage. And that's why you feel better about moving Amik back into the nickel spot and hopefully getting Terrion back tomorrow and obviously having DJ Reed back on the outside. But, guys, look, this pass rush has to be better. That was the biggest reason those explosive plays happened last week, in my opinion. And, look, I know the pressures from a counting perspective may have been there by the end of the game on a day where the defense played 82 snaps. But Jameis Winston had, I believe, 3.2 seconds to throw per dropback, one of the highest rates in the NFL last week. Against this Packers defense the week prior, he only had about 2.5 seconds, one of the lowest rates in the NFL for that week. So that gives you an idea of the kind of pressure that Green Bay can bring and Detroit is struggling to bring right now.
Final thing for you, Birchie. If I have a scale, and at one end of the scale it says Green Bay wins, and the other end of the scale it says Detroit wins, which way is your arrow pointing?
My arrow is pointing pretty soundly towards Detroit tomorrow. It really is. I, for one reason more than any other, I do not see Dan Campbell getting swept by Fancy Pants LaFleur. I just don't. He's not going to let it happen. I struggle to even conceptualize how what I know. There are a few matchups that probably clearly favor Green Bay tomorrow, including that defensive line on the interior. But I think that Dan Campbell finds a way to get his team over the finish line tomorrow. And then maybe you can ask me the scale question that you first asked me, and my answer is different coming out of that game. Tomorrow is a defining game for this team, and I think it will inform our judgments moving forward pretty heavily.
Really quickly here, my alma mater, Michigan State, is playing a dog game on Saturday night against Maryland. But the dog game of the week might be Boston College at Syracuse.
Quick, two dogs.
Quick on that. What do you think will happen there with your Boston College team?
You know, if we keep expanding the playoff, my Eagles might have a shot. If we can get our second win this week, maybe we can find a way to shoehorn them in there.
Good luck with that.
A long season, boys. A long season.
Yeah. Birchie, always good to talk to you. We'll do it again, and we'll set the time early in the week so there'll be no confusion.
Sounds good. Happy Thanksgiving to you and to all. Hey, Karsh, we're almost always on the same page, man. Going back to the very first time we played beer league hockey together, and I set you up for a backdoor Catherine tap-in. So let it be known that usually we have elite chemistry. Just a slight hitch today.
Not today. Not today.
Not today.
See you, Birchie.
See you, bud.
A backdoor Catherine Tappan. Wow. That guy. He's the Birchie kid, our Lions insider here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Huge game tomorrow for our Detroit Lions. Scary Micah Parsons. We got Micah Light in the first game.
Well, the workload was light.
That's exactly what I mean.
He was scary in the game.
30 snaps of 67. Last week he played 40 snaps of 44 for the Packers, but he had just got there the first time they played him. And piggybacking off that, 44 defensive snaps last week for Green Bay. They were on the field for 24 minutes and 35 seconds. The Lions defense, you looked it up, it was 70-something snaps.
Bertie said 82, so because a couple penalties would make it even more.
They were on the field for 37 minutes and 11 seconds. Short week, recovery time. I don't love that. And I also don't know what to expect because in game one, Green Bay shut down Jahmyr Gibbs. 19 touches, 50 yards. Gibbs coming off an explosive game against the Giants. But the Pack, they don't get off to fast starts, so they might keep the Lions out of must-pass situations, which is good because they can't just pin their ears back and rush Jared Goff. Jordan Love hasn't been over 200 yards the last three games, 200 yards passing. Josh Jacobs, is he going to play?
I'll say this. That first game against the Packers was not good for the Lions, but they played better in the second half than they did in the first half. They moved the ball a little bit. The points they gave up were a direct result of field position. One drive, the Lions were punting from the one-yard line. And the Packers didn't exactly move the ball against the Lions' offense in the second half. In fact, they didn't. I think they had less than 100 yards in offense in the second half of that game. That's a little bit encouraging because then you saw what happened after that game moving on. I don't think the offensive line can play as badly as they did in that first game. So with that, let's go.
Lions and Packers coming up on tomorrow, and of course you'll hear it here on 97.1 The Ticket. Pistons in action against Boston tonight. Red Wings going against Nashville. Michigan and Michigan State are just killing people in college basketball. The two college hockey teams are ranked in the top three, Michigan and Michigan State. Wolverines and Buckeyes on Saturday. We have first world problems. And it's time to pick some games. You ready?
I am.
Let's go. Okay, 5-1 last week. 23-16 in the college game. 20-16 in the pro game. 43-32 overall. 8-5 with my locks. Gator, you're dead nuts even 500 on the season. Yep. 34-34-1.
32-32-1.
Sorry, my bad. You do have a better record in the college game than the NFL game. You ready to go?
I am ready.
All right. I will start. I mentioned it earlier. You just heard me say, I got a lot of home dogs this week.
Okay.
Pitt +6.5 against Miami, and you heard why last segment.
Georgia is at Georgia Tech. The over-under set at 59.5 in this one. Look, I was stunned at how bad Georgia Tech was last week. Georgia is building things up. They're getting better and better every week. But that over-under total, that's too much. I don't see the teams combining for nearly 60 points.
Not that it matters, but the game is at a neutral site.
Either way.
You still got the under.
Someone's got to wear the home jersey.
Next up, well, it's a neutral site. It's Atlanta. So.
Someone's got to wear the home jersey.
Yes, Mississippi State at Ole Miss. You heard me mention that one as well. I don't know if you could come up with a worse distraction than your head coach being noncommittal to your team after this game. Think how the staff feels. I'll take Mississippi State up against a bit of a psychological mess on the other sideline. Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl plus the 7.5.
It is a mess, and you feel like that's going to leak out before the game time. What's going to happen there? You would just imagine. This one's a strange game. I mentioned briefly with Birchie. Boston College at Syracuse. These are two of the least interesting college football teams in college football, and yet I'm going with this because the over-under is set at 52.5 points. These are two completely incompetent offenses that can't score. How it's set at 52.5, go ahead. I'll take the under. In fact, it's my shoot the boot lock of the week.
Final one here for me in a collegiate game. It's Kansas getting 10.5 at home, taking on Utah. I like Kansas in this spot at home with their quarterback and their running back. Final game of the year for them.
Initially, I liked Utah, and then I saw it's at Kansas. Utah probably wins, but yeah.
Let me also add my lock of the week is Pitt. Okay. Plus a 6.5.
Lastly, Doug, I'll go to one of the greatest rivalries in college football. Alabama is at Auburn. The over-under total is set at 46.5. Auburn exploded last week. Look, everybody in the SEC exploded last week because they took on garbage opponents. This is a heated rivalry. I think there's going to be lots of points scored. I like the over 46.5.
You have a lot of over-unders this week. Good for you. Let's go to the pro game. I'm going to break one of my rules, Scott. Something I almost never do. I love the Lions to cover the 2.5.
Oh,
I'm taking the Lions minus 2.5 against Green Bay at home on Thanksgiving. Yep.
Okay.
I'm not scared.
No, he's not scared. He's not afraid of no ghosts. Okay. I like where you're at there. Atlanta, minus 2 at the Jets. I think Atlanta's... They need to win games. They're going to have Kirk Cousins going again. The Jets are the Jets. I mean, they're just terrible. But at this point, I think Atlanta's going to win by at least 2 points. I like this.
Next game, I got Tampa at home hosting Arizona.
That was amazing insight, by the way. I don't know if you caught all that, what I just said. Well, just great insight.
Well, I heard you say Atlanta's going to want to win this game.
Yeah.
As if teams don't want to win games. Tampa minus 2.5 hosting Arizona. I don't need insight. I'll just lay the points at 2.5.
Sounds better. Cleveland is at home against San Francisco. The Niners are favored by 5 points in this game. I recognize that Cleveland's defense wreaks havoc on teams, and I think they will do so against San Francisco. Not enough to the point where they're actually going to score enough points to cover that mess. San Francisco minus 5 is the pick.
Okay, my final pick. Carolina is at home getting 10.5 against the Rams. I love the 10.5, but I'm also probably going to put a very small wager down on Carolina on the money line.
You think they're winning this game?
Oh, I think it's a risk worth taking. For the purposes of the picks, I'm taking Carolina plus 10.5.
Oh, my. Yep. Finally, I will go with this one. The New York football Giants are at New England. The Giants are getting 7.5 points in this game. If history has told us anything, the Giants will keep it close, and they're getting the hook. That hook is important. If it were 7, I'm not sure I'd do this. Then I might have a second tie on the season. But I got the hook. I'll take the Giants plus 7.5 at New England.
Those are our bets. Kang every week loves on a pick and hates on a pick. Kang, go ahead, my friend.
Well, what do you want me to start with?
What do you hate?
Gator, that hook got you, my friend. That hook got you, and it's going to hurt you. Yes, the Giants have been playing close games, but you know what? The Patriots, they have had a soft schedule this year, and they eat on soft schedules. Giants are not a good team. I like the Patriots to cover the 7.5.
Which one do you like the most?
Doug, I'm agreeing with you on the Pitt game. Plus 6.5, Miami. You never go full crystal ball. I think he's going to do something stupid this game, and they will get upset. But I'll take the points.
There you go. Those are our picks each and every week, usually on Fridays. This week on Wednesday with a short week. Hey, it's a short week, everybody. So what's your What's your plan for tomorrow?
Go to the game.
Right,
but
is this a get there early? They have a Thanksgiving meal set up for the media.
They usually do, and I try not to indulge too much into that.
You show some discipline, some restraint.
I try.
Yeah,
it depends what's there. It's like a whole turkey thing. So I don't want to do it twice, but yep. I've been known to. So we'll see how that sets up.
When you say don't do it twice, you mean you don't want to have turkey for lunch and then turkey for dinner.
Correct.
Okay.
We'll see how that works out with that tomorrow. But I don't know. I'll probably get there around noon.
Okay.
It's a 1 o'clock kick this time. So it's a reminder to people. It's a 1 o'clock instead of 12:30, how it has been in the past.
Right.
So a little different there.
Parade traffic, though. So
it's always pretty.
You can always leave early. You want to leave early, regardless. But, all right, so go to the game, work the game,
go
post-game.
Go to the game, work the game, and then go to the post-game for the interviews, and then I will head over to my brother's.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I need to communicate with him on a couple things.
What are we bringing?
Well, that's one of the things I have to communicate with.
To be determined.
Yes, to be determined, whether it's going to be a dessert or a bottle of champagne or something like that, or a bundle of booze or beer or whatnot. Yeah, I'm good for that.
Yeah.
And then have to work out arrangements with the hound as well.
Gotcha. Kang, what about you? What does your day look like tomorrow?
All right, so I got the two family thing tomorrow. Usually we just pick one, mm-hmm. and then we do the other family the next day, but we're gonna split it up. So we're doing lunch at the in-laws and then dinner time, nighttime at my mom's house.
Okay.
But in between Lions game, of course.
Cool. Well, sounds like a good day. I've mentioned before, I'll be down at Schumacher Hall in the morning and then watch the Lions with family, and we're going out to dinner. I'll report back on the going out to dinner thing. We've never done that before. I feel like we're breaking new ground. You never know if it's going to be great or if we're going to be, maybe we should just.
I can't believe Boston Market's fitting all you guys in
there.
Dude,
I would have loved it in Boston Market. Boston Market was the best. I miss you, Boston Market. I miss you.
Pour a little out. Pour a little
gravy
out.
I'm
going to
pour
maybe.
A little gravy out for Boston Market tomorrow. I should. God. all right, the polling is closed as we asked Detroit fans, do you think Lions just win the game? And people commented, 74.8% said the Lions win, 25.2% said it would be Green Bay. Raymond says Green Bay 27, Detroit 20. I just don't see the Lions offensive line holding up against a team with a pulse, and they'll struggle to move the ball on offense. I do think Green Bay's offense gets a late touchdown to sweep the regular season series. Fred says, the Lions have to win this game, taking my 9-year-old daughter to her first game tomorrow, and football reasons, too. Lugan says, this is a get-right game for the defense. PG Stipe says, Detroit's defense is legitimate, even when the offense is wonky. Brock Wright missing practice since landing on his neck is concerning, but Sewell and Ratledge give Gibbs the 6 inches of daylight he needs. Jamo goes deep. Lions 34, Green Bay 24. It'd be good to see Jamo have a bounce-back game. Look, he did have a catch last week that was erased on the illegal man downfield penalty, and in that catch, he looked every bit the player, the exciting player, the talented player that we know him to be, but ended up finishing with 3 targets, no catches officially.
Yeah, I think, you know, off the Giants game, there's so many things that we'd like to see. You'd like to see Jamo more involved. I think we're going to see more Tesla. More involved. I think Montgomery might play a bigger role in this game. I mean, there's lots that can work there offensively. And at the same time, we're still waiting to find out, is Brock Wright going to play? He hasn't practiced in a couple days. Is Khalif Raymond going to play? He hasn't practiced. I mean, both of those guys could be out, Wright with a neck injury and, you know, Raymond with his ankle issue. It leaves him thin at tight end. And I'm not sure what the strength of the backup tight ends is. I'm hopeful that the strength of the backup tight ends, Dwelly and Frisker and the like.
Frisker? Okay.
I'm hopeful that their strength is blocking, because that's what they need most of all. When you have to help out with Micah Parsons and Rashawn Gary, help out with some chip blocks or whatnot, they need all the help they can get.
Look at Frisker anytime touchdown. What do you think the odds are?
Dude, you're better off betting Skipper to score a touchdown, because you're going to see a lot of tackle eligible.
You're
going to
see a lot of that.
Yeah, I think you're right. Dave writes in, the Packers will need to move a safety into the box to slow down Gibbs, and Jamo will have a huge day. 2 touchdowns, over 150 yards receiving, and 3 plays over 25 yards. Packers are really good at not giving up explosives, but that would do. Willie, how about this prediction? I got Green Bay. Besides football reasons, I had a vision of Micah Parsons eating the turducken. It's a terrible vision, but that's why.
Are they serving turducken this year?
I don't know. Connold says, unfortunately, I think the Packers might ruin Thanksgiving for us. Lions offensive line is too beat up right now. Tony Kendrick sends us the following analysis. Green Bay sucks.
Like it.
From JVDXD, Detroit fan picking Green Bay. My team doesn't deserve any support after the horrid blank they've been on lately. Plus, our O-line is ass.
Oh.
Huh.
It's a lot going on there.
That's a dour tweet. Michael says, Green Bay 27-17. The Lions O-line sucks right now, especially up the middle. Parsons might kill Goff tomorrow. Just don't see them winning if they can't give Goff time. Well, they've won. It's like the offensive line is they've won a bunch, and they beat some good teams. It just doesn't look as crisp and as clean as it did a year ago.
Yeah, and the defense played well against Green Bay in the first matchup, although it was much more the second half than it was in the first. The first half, it felt like Green Bay was able to march down the field a couple times without much issue. And then the Lions said, all right, wait a minute, we can play better defense than that. And they did. I think this is going to be a lower scoring game. The Lions are going to have to bring it defensively. It's certainly better than what they showed against the Giants, and I would expect that. I think there were some flat-out missed assignments against the Giants that you wouldn't expect in this game.
Here's Rico Beard. What's up, man?
Hey, I said the magical number for the Lions is 24. You score 24 more points, you win the game. 23 or under, you're going to need some help. Under 20, you probably lost.
Yeah, Green Bay's offense hasn't been...
No, Green Bay's offense hasn't, but they're leaning on their defense, and their defense is just holding people to 17 or less. So that's the thing, and that's why I said... If you can get to 24, they can't match you. Stay in the teens, that's a bike. They'll kick five field goals and score one touchdown and walk off with the victory.
It's funny how high the offensive bar is that, like, last week felt like a major disappointment, and yet they scored 27 in regulation, which would be top six in the NFL. If that was points per game. Have a great show, Rico, and a great Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Everybody out there, we are thankful for our audience and everyone who works for us behind the glass. We do appreciate it. Stay safe, everyone, and treat each other with respect. 97.1.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.